Oh, I love that. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, that was awesome. And I love this theme about passion. By the way, I'm a Longhorn, for the record. So, sorry. Woo-hoo. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. And Corey, I really want to make sure we give space for questions. So I'm going to kind of just talk quick for 10 minutes. He's going to talk quick. And then we want you guys to go up to a mic, or that mic over there, and ask us whatever you want, okay? So thank you, Donna, for the introduction. As she said, I launched a company about a year ago, and it's just like smoking hot, and I can't believe this, and I'm having the time of my life. I want to give you the story of how I started, and what I'm hoping is that you take away that you can do this. You can do whatever you want. And I know it's a cliche, and that's like a tagline, but really, if you've got the passion, and you really love something, you really can do whatever you want. I don't care if you want to be an astronaut, a president, launch a company, change, you know, Einstein's formula. I don't know. You can do whatever you want if you have the passion. So a little bit about me and how I got to where I am today. So the one thing I will say is I always knew that I wanted to do something in fashion. I had a picture of myself, and I was digging for it and digging for it, and I couldn't find it. 12 years old, and I'm reading Vogue. And I collected Vogues. I probably had 60 Vogues throughout the 80s. It was something that I've always loved. I loved the expression of clothing. I loved the visuals. I loved the colors. So guess what? I applied to fashion school. I got into Parsons School of Design, which was fun because Tim Gunn signed it. I got into FIT. So, okay, great. I had my goals. I knew what I was doing. I went off to New York, went to FIT. I got really homesick because I was a Texas girl. Stayed there about a semester. So then I came back. And I went to UT. And got my degree in merchandising. For about, I'd say, 6 years or so, I did a bunch of stuff in Austin in fashion. I worked at Neiman's in Dallas. I worked for a boutique here and did their promotions. I worked for Dillard's and did fashion shows. I kind of did it all. But for me, and by the way, this is pre-internet, by the way, this is before the internet. For me to really kind of go to the next step, I needed to move to New York or LA. And I just wasn't ready to do that. My mom was sick. I just wanted to stay home. So I landed in high tech. I took my event experience with fashion, and I landed in the software industry, which in Austin was fabulous. I had an amazing career. I did some incredible things. But you know what? 15-ish years later, I was a little bit bored. And you know what was happening? My passion was ticking. I want to go back to fashion. I want to do what I love. It just wouldn't escape me. So when I turned, I think I was about 38 years old, I just said, okay, I'm going to go back. What is it going to take? I spent 2 years researching what I wanted to do in this industry. I knew I wanted to do something for girls, specifically girls. I wanted to empower them. I wanted to give them a fashion voice that was strong. I wanted to allow them to be creative. I wanted them to pursue their passions. So that was just right there. I knew where I wanted to go. I spent 2 years building a business plan and thinking about, what do I not know? Well, I don't know how to manufacture a shoe. That's going to take a lot of work. Well, I don't know a lot about financials. So what did I do? I attended a workshop at Big Investment Growth. Great resource for you guys. Big Austin. Attended a workshop, learned about financials. Met the man there, said, hey, you want to go have coffee? I'd love to pick your brain and tell you about what I want to do. He ended up being one of my number one advisors. He ended up being an investor in my company. And still today, I called him yesterday about a new thing. So I spent 2 years building this company, defining the brand. So then another struggle, Mexico, China, Brazil, where do I manufacture my shoes and where do I start? So guess what I started doing? So the first thing you do, of course, you go to the internet and you start digging and you kind of get lost in the internet space and you find some resources and that's a dead lead and then you go over here and try to, it took me a long time to find a good place to manufacture shoes. What ended up happening was is that I found a brand in Houston called Twig and I noticed in the bio of the designer that he said, quote, I moved my family to Texas to be closer to my manufacturer. I was like, oh my gosh, is he manufacturing in Texas? How great would that be? So guess what I did? I emailed him completely cold. Just said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm building this brand. I'm looking to find a manufacturer. I've been trying to resource in China. It's so hard. I've talked to some people in Brazil. Would you mind speaking to me? Now, let me tell you about this. What I did was reach out to someone, a complete stranger, put myself out there, and ask for help. I have done that probably 100 times in this journey. That is so critical for you to take away. When you're thinking about your vision or your passion or something you want to pursue, ask for help. You'd be surprised. Yes, I've had a couple people that didn't respond, but you'd be surprised how many have responded. So He said, well, absolutely. And it was in like 20 minutes, he responded. I was like, fantastic. Well, how about tomorrow? And we had a three-hour phone call. Then the next week, I took a friend and went and met him in Houston. And he shared with me so much information. And why did he do that? He did that because, first of all, there's no reason to be selfish. Secondly, there's lots of shoes. There's lots of people that can buy shoes. He didn't have any secrets. Why not, you know, help a fellow colleague and grow the business and grow the industry, et cetera? He was an amazing man. He led me to, he gave me a lead at the Chamber of Commerce down in Mexico, Leon, Mexico. So I contacted them, and I told them what I wanted to do. They said, why don't you come down to Sapica, which is a trade show, huge shoe show, huge. Leon, Mexico is like the shoe world of, but Detroit is the cars, Leon is the shoe. So what did I do? I got on a plane with a friend and went to Mexico. And I went to the Sapica shoe show. And boy, that was crazy. It was backed, it was hard to understand, but I met with three manufacturers. And I met with the one that does the private label of Nordstrom's. And we signed an agreement, and here we go. And that was a moment. That was a milestone. It took me a year and a half to get there, but I did it. So then I designed my first collection, which was in February of 2011. So that was a year and a half ago. I got my samples. They sent me my shoes. Boy, did I cry. Because it was like Christmas. It was like this idea, this vision, this dream, this passion that I've had now in my hands. Now I have a product. So then I was ready to go to a show. So I went to a show in California, small shoe show that, again, my mentor in Houston told me where to go. He's continuing to help me along. Went to a show. I had like a table of 10 shoes. Everyone else, like Ralph Lauren's there and, you know, Skechers is there, and I've got my 10 shoes. And I networked and I talked to people about the brand. What was different about my brand is I was very focused on girls 6 to 14. Not toddlers, not preschoolers, not adults. I have a specific message and voice at what I want to do for girls. So I started talking to some reps, just like, hey, what do you think about this? They came up and they were like, oh my goodness, you have something very original here. We would like to represent you. What? So that was like in the year later plan. That wasn't day one. So they rep my line. And in the first season, I had 35 stores pick me up across the country, from literally Seattle to New York to Denver to Fort Worth. I'm in like 30 major cities. So, oh my gosh, here I am. My dream has come true. I've gone back to my passion. I had a vision. I mapped it out. I broke the steps down, and I asked for help. One of the things I did in this process also that's really important is I created an advisory council of women and men that could help me. And they're a crosshatch of people. I have people that have launched really successful internet companies, and I have people that have a paper line. So a crosshatch of people across my business that I'm constantly asking for help, advice, bouncing things off of them. You can't do this alone. You've got to put your little army of helpers together. But the man in Houston that I just cold called ended up being my greatest resource, and he still is today. And so what I wanted to do for you guys is to show that, and by the way, I didn't have a secret sauce. You know, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of power. What I have is passion. And I have gone back to this passion, and now here I am today speaking to you guys. Like, oh my gosh, they asked me to come speak. I was a designer to watch. I went to Austin Fashion Week and was a top 8 designer. I've been people.com. It's just been crazy. And that's because this has all been rooted in the passion of what I'm trying to do. And it's so critical that you tap into that. If you don't have something today, go find it. If you have something today, be active in it. You have to be active in it. Don't sit back, oh, I really like photography, and I don't know. Go meet with a photographer. Go take a class. Go take some photographs. Do something to get engaged in your passion. And if you're not ready and you don't know yet what it is, then I've got a couple slides here to talk to you about how to get there. Okay, where's my thing? So, like techie. Okay, so I'm going to talk 2 seconds about Valentina because it's my passion. So we're a happy, passionate company. We celebrate creativity and foster individuality. We live in bright color. We deliver happiness, and customers are what matter most. Now, what's really important about this is that at the end of the day, whoever wears our brand, I just want them to be happy and love what they're wearing. I want them to feel proud of what they're wearing. I want them to be excited. And of course, it's age appropriate, and we're very much rooted in color, all these things. And so I think that, you know, when people, it's like, yes, it's a pair of shoes, but I got to tell you, at the end of the day, it represents a message, which is really important. So this is a shoe that we do called Design Your Own. It's just like a white canvas. Girls take them and create your own signature style. All about creative expression, individual freedom, which is really, really important. This is just like a little show I did. We're celebrating happiness. This is my inspiration board, which we'll talk about in a minute. This is on my website. Okay, a little sneak peek of fall. So, find your passion. How are you going to do this? First of all, and I know this is silly, and we've all heard about Pinterest. I'm completely addicted. I'm addicted. Who's addicted? Yes, exactly. Okay, let me tell you about Pinterest, besides the fact that it's, we all know what it is. It's a great source for you to tap into stuff you love. Architecture, photography, fashion, interior design, event design, travel, writing. Just go out there, and I know it's like, oh gosh, I have to go to another like social media site. This is amazing. This is an amazing tool. Just go mess around, and you may tap into something, and you may find a resource that'll trigger something. Second, another idea is to journal or blog. You know, talk about interesting things that you did that day. My kids and I, my husband, have this tradition every day when we sit down for dinner, which is sacred, because I know when they get older, they're going to be like off doing all their sports. We sit down. What was the most interesting thing that happened to you today? Doesn't have to be great. Doesn't have to be sad. Just what was interesting. The stuff that comes out of their mouth is amazing. So tap into that. Whether you blog, you know, publicly or whether you just journal privately, trigger yourself. What is interesting to you? Next is build an inspiration board. I'm a huge advocate of that. I am a very visual person. It could be an inspiration board of things you just love, or it could be a place where you want to go. I want to go to Italy, or I want to do this, or I'm going to achieve this. You put it out there on a board. Trust me, mine is in my bedroom. I wake up every day and I look at it, and it's ginormous. And I just had to take it down because we're moving, so I'm so sad. But build your inspiration board. It'll be really, really a great tool. Okay, so I love my friend Corey Cotton because he's going to tap into this. Make huge goals. Just crazy goals. Like, why not? You know, I set out 3 years ago, I said, I want to build a nationally recognized brand. Now, we're not there yet. That's a big goal. But you know what? We're a tiny step in the right direction. Don't let your mind say to yourself, I don't think I can do that. That's your mind. You can do whatever you set out to if you have your passion. Write down your huge goals and then set down, do your small goals. What I love about the small goals is they're going to get you to the big. So your small goals will be like, okay, I did it. Check. It'll inspire you. It'll keep you motivated. Do the small things too. I don't care what it is. The tiny stuff. Break them down into little parts and pieces. Okay, speak to people you admire in your industry. So that is the story of my man, Twig, in Houston. I looked at his shoes. He's in a totally different category, but I liked his brand and I admire him. I also talked to people that weren't in the fashion industry, people that had stores, there's a gentleman on my advisory council that launched a really big internet company. He's very successful. I admire what he did. And, you know, I pick up the phone and call him all the day. This thing is, if you surround yourself with people that you admire and they sprinkle little words of wisdom, you're going to go. You're going to get it. And that's really important. And don't be intimidated because you'd be surprised how many people want to help. Volunteer or find an internship. A lot of you guys that are in high school, I tell you, this is an opportunity for you. Just the simplest volunteer activity will make you feel great, and interning will expand things. Find a mentor early. I've had mentors my whole life, all for all different reasons. It's been huge for me. Or, more importantly, pay it forward, become a mentor later. I don't care if you're 20 years old. You can mentor someone at 17. You all have something to offer. So, find your passion, and ultimately, dream big. I love this quote from Gloria Steinem, without leaps of imagination or dreaming, we lose the excitement of possibilities, because after all, dreaming is just a form of planning. Okay? Thank you.
Started the whole thing. We made a website, doperfect.com, which we felt cool about doing.
They call themselves Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect.
Everybody from Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect.
So we found these guys on YouTube,
and their videos are tearing up the internet.
Burning up the internet. Take a look.
Welcome to Aggie Land. This is the world's longest basketball club.
Oh my gosh.
This group of Texas A&M students have become a national sensation with their
jaw-dropping.
Unbelievable.
Pretty good, right?
It's fun to watch.
Mind-blowing. Very impressive.
Amazing, incredible basketball trick shots.
Like this one Corey made in a hotel atrium.
You know what? You got a dream, you follow it, you do it. That's why our next guest is so cool. Corey Cotton is here with us right now.
Corey Cotton.
We've got Corey Cotton here to talk to us.
Corey Cotton of Dude Perfect, author of Go Big.
Let's see the Dude Perfect shot one more time.
I'm ready to see it. Let's go.
This is the Cowboy Stadium shot.
Anyone ever going to top that?
And you made a shot from an airplane.
I don't think a lot of people get to do that.
Somebody's got to do that.
Watch.
Oh, my. This.
Two summers ago, I was in San Diego, California, out at a college working, actually hosting Bible studies, when one day I looked over and I saw a flyer on the wall that said King James Basketball Camp. And I thought to myself, could this possibly be LeBron James's basketball camp? Now, I'm a big LeBron fan, and so all my responsibilities that day, gone. I decided that the only thing I needed to do was figure out how to sneak my way into this basketball camp. So, about 30 minutes later, mission accomplished. There I am, standing outside the door of the gymnasium, looking in the glass at not a whole camp, but LeBron and his teammates and his coaches. See, the camp had let out early that day, and so I found myself standing outside watching essentially a private practice session. Now, I went there with a friend, and as we're both standing there thinking that, you know, basically we accomplished what we were here to do, we realized that this bodyguard, big dude, is walking at us from the inside of the gym, shaking his head. So we pretty sure that our little dream here, our little adventure is over. He peeks his head out the door and he says, "Fellas, LeBron noticed you standing out here, and he was curious if you wanted to come in and watch him." So of course, let me think about it, yes. So we walk into this gym, and there he is, LeBron, right there. We watch him and his teammates basically have a practice dunking session for the next hour. As a big basketball fan, this was a dream come true for me. But as we're there over the next hour, I realize that other people have come in, they're sitting in the bleachers, and when the hour's over, I start to see these people just get up and leave. They just walk out of the door. Well, I didn't just come to see LeBron. I can see him on TV. I wanted to meet him. So I wasn't about to just walk out the door without the opportunity to shake his hand. So there I am inside this gym, and you gotta have a plan, right? Yeah, you can walk over to him and be like, "What's up, LeBron, man, big fan." That's not cool. He's not going to remember that. You got to do something cool. So as I'm sitting there with my friend, I realize that I have on my iPhone one of our most recent Dude Perfect videos queued up. Now, our company, our video brand, had just started about a year before that, and we had recently launched a video that I was super proud of. And so I had that queued up on my phone, and as LeBron was over stretching on the sideline, laying on the ground, I realized that maybe, just maybe, I could show one of our videos to LeBron James. And I just knew that the four other guys in my group would be thrilled out of their mind if I went home and told them that I did that. So that was my plan. What I haven't mentioned yet, though, is as I'm standing outside that glass door when the bodyguard comes and gets us and escorted us in, he gave us one rule. He said, "Do not, I repeat, do not pull out your cell phone." To this day, I still don't know why that was such a big deal, but he was serious. And like I said earlier, he was huge. So I wasn't about to mess with that. Until my new plan. So my actions went a little bit faster than my thoughts, and I was off. LeBron is over here on the sideline, and I'm making a beeline straight towards him. As I walk, and I'm about to bend down to meet him, I see out of the corner of my eye the bodyguard coming in hot. And all I can think is, I am about to die. I am about to get shot trying to meet LeBron James. But it was too late at this point. I was committed. And so I figured, if I'm doing it, I got to do it. So I keep walking. I got to admit, despite the fact that this is more or less a life or death situation, this was pretty smooth. In one smooth motion, drop down to a knee, pull out my phone, swipe to unlock, hit play, put it in front of LeBron's face. At that point, it is what it is, right? He's either going to like it or he's not. I say, LeBron, my name's Corey. I'm one of five guys that just made a YouTube video from Texas A&M, and this video's gone big. I thought you might want to check it out. Play. The first thing he sees is Tyler, the bearded guy in our group, do a hook shot from the top of a water tower down to a basketball goal. Swish. He starts cracking up laughing, takes the phone out of my hand, and for the next couple minutes watches half of my video. I say half because at some point, the bodyguard's voice rang in above my head. Son, you gotta leave. You gotta go now. Now I was devastated, right? Because this had been a pretty good start to this little adventure, but I wasn't on a first-name basis with LeBron yet, and that was the goal. And so there I am on the ground, about to get up, happy, but also a little disappointed, when I hear a voice that sounds frighteningly similar to LeBron James. Nah, man, he's cool. LeBron shoos away his bodyguard and the other assistants that were there by him, and for the next couple minutes, he finished the video, and we hung out. Me and LeBron James hung out. It was awesome. Now, why do I tell you this story? Because I am passionate about what I do. And you have a passion as well. And when you are passionate about something, you will do almost anything. We all know this is true. I don't know what your passion is. I haven't met you. But what I do know about you is that you have a passion. Everybody does. We've all been uniquely created and designed with certain things that just get us going, that get our heart pumping, that make us smile. And what Tina and I both want to do today is help you to explore what that is, help you to really think about it. Because what I've seen in my own personal life over the last 3 years, I feel like I've gotten an opportunity to do something that I love. I graduated from Texas A&M in 2010, and over the last 3 years, we've been making these basketball videos. We started in our backyard, first video blew up. 2 days later, I got a phone call from Good Morning America. It was just one of those things that caught on. And we've leveraged it, and we've continued on, and it's been a huge blessing in my life. But I feel like I've gotten a chance to do something that I love. And what I know for sure is that everybody out here has that opportunity. So what we want to do today, and we want to take some questions, is help you think through your passion. For me, it's as simple, when I talk to people and I try and help them identify their passion, because I think that's one of the most important things we can do, it's as simple as thinking through a couple things. Number one, what is it that makes you smile? Think about this over the next week, because you might not be able to answer this question right now. But over this next week, when you find yourself smiling, identify that and think about, what is it that I'm talking about? What is it that I'm doing right now? Another thing to think about, when you lose track of time, when you realize, where did the last hour go? Think about what you're doing, because chances are that's something you're passionate about. That's something that time gets away from you because you love what you were doing just then. The last thing I'll say is that when you are energized by something, that's typically something that you're passionate about. When you feel like you started something, you had a certain amount of energy, and then at the end of that process, you have more energy than when you started, that's where you need to be. Because we all want to go big. We all want to chase something and reach a level of excellence. And I believe that passion positions excellence. We all know this because when you see people at an excellent level, usually they're incredibly passionate about what they're doing. I am terrible at math, horrible, but I love writing. So for me, when I wrote this book, Go Big, about this whole idea of going big with what you love and using that platform for a cause greater than yourself, that to me was in my wheelhouse. That was something that I'm passionate about. Now, I could go out there and write a math textbook, I guess. I could work hard enough at that, but I'm not passionate about math. And so that would have torn me down and wore me down. But doing something that I'm passionate about energizes me. I lose track of time. I smile when I talk about it. So right now we want to take some questions. But I wanted to introduce you to the idea that passion positions excellence. Thank you very much.
Got a question.
Does anybody have any questions here? I know you do. It's simple as, how many shots does it normally take? Or what's it like to start your own company? What do we got? Right there.
Did y'all like study the angles before y'all made those
shots? Oh, did we study the angles? Fantastic question. No. Can't say that we did. There was zero math involved. We basically just wing it, to be honest with you. But it's a trial and error thing, right? If you miss to the right, you kind of adjust and shoot a little bit to the left. Good question, though. What else we got? And this is for Tina as well, guys.
I mean, for whomever.
Yeah, either. Sure.
There's a microphone over this way. Just so the audience can hear. If y'all want to walk over there, or, and we'll certainly repeat the question too. If y'all want to be comfortable in your seats.
It's definite that your experience is not typical to any starting business, because there's a lot of factors that play. Among them is also chance. Yes, your passion is great, but your chance. I have been in the process of wanting to do some business, and it takes so many steps and so much barriers to really overcome in order to get to what you want, including a lot of money spent in there. And so talk about the difficulties that you really went through building your business to the way it is and as fast as it is.
Is that for me?
For both of you.
For either one of us.
Yeah.
Okay. I totally understand about the obstacles and the, you know, the barriers. And, you know, every time I hit a bump like that, and I did hit, I'm still hitting bumps. I'm going to hit bumps throughout the journey of the company. I, first of all, mentally just envision those as a reposition. So, something may present itself as a challenge. You have to have in your kind of entrepreneurial gut that that's simply just a challenge and what is the workaround. And I love the journey of figuring out the problem, solving the problem. It does take a lot of time. So even though, you know, a year I launched and it's we've accomplished so much, it took me 2 or 3 years to do all the business parts and get all the ducks in line. So for me, it's that passion is so deep and rooted that it continues to fuel me. I'd also suggest celebrate your wins. Don't just focus on the bumps. Celebrate every little milestone, because those are the things that are going to keep you going. I mean, I remember, gosh, trying to find a manufacturer, I'd be this close, and then it would crumble. And I don't have anything unless I have a product. Well, when I finally met that man in Mexico, I knew that was the one. And that was a big moment, and I built upon that, because that was a year journey trying to find the manufacturer. So it's balancing, knowing that the bumps are just bumps, the barriers are just barriers, understanding that, you know, you continually have to solve that problem, but then balancing out with celebrating the wins too.
I totally agree. I think, I 100% agree. If we want to take some more questions, we can talk after, or we can connect, but I want to give some other people a chance as well.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
I know we had some questions over here. Yes, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So for me, it did start quick. I'll agree. I'm not going to deny that. It absolutely started quick. But at the same time, it was also one of those things as a YouTube startup, basically. It was one of those categories where people instantly assume that it's a 15 minutes of fame, right? Or it's a one and done, or it's a one hit wonder, right? And a lot of people experience that in the first beginning portions of their entrepreneurial dream or their startup company. You can get a little bit of momentum at the beginning, and whether that's local press, national press, whatever it is, you can get a little bit of momentum, and I believe the key is to leverage that. Now, that's just my personal opinion, but I believe that what you can do with your, I call them go big moments, and they don't all have to be national news, right? They don't all have to be having millions of hits on YouTube. But when you get opportunities, if it's meeting LeBron James, right, you leverage that. You take advantage of that opportunity, and you don't walk out of the room. You walk up and you meet LeBron. This past summer, I had a chance to go to London for the Olympics and work with some athletes over there and some YouTubers over there. And guess who I saw again? LeBron. And guess who remembered me? LeBron. Because when you do something that's different than other people, not to be different for different sake, but to do something to position yourself as different and as excellent, then people will remember it. But no, there have been plenty of times when we've wanted to stop, whether it's, you know, our views were going down, or whether we were making less money, or we weren't doing a big brand deal. We work with a lot of big companies and do videos like that. Sometimes those don't come. And so for us, we have to know that we have to keep pushing through it. And for me, until I stop being passionate about this, then I'm going to continue to do it. The back, white shirt. Blouse. I don't know girl terms. Yes.
It's a cliche. It's my mom. I'm sorry. It really is. She's in heaven, and she left me with the passion. And I grew up her having a very, you know, she was a poet and an artist. And I mean, she's just like, do what you want, do whatever you want. And you know, like I said, she's just such a huge source. And it's kind of a cliche, but She's on my website. I adore that woman. Yeah. So thank you.
My parents for me also. They're awesome. Yeah. Yes, back. You. Yep, blue shirt.
I was just wondering, what kind of support systems did you find most helpful, or what steps did you take to increase support systems?
Yeah, I really liked what Tina said earlier about seeking help, right? You cannot do this alone. I think back every single time I watch an acceptance speech, right, on the Grammys or Emmys or any type of person where you get up on stage and you have a chance to either take all the glory for yourself or to deflect it to others. And the people that get up on stage and say, I deserve this, I'm awesome, they can't even, they're so wrapped up in their own story that they can't see you standing there, those people are in denial, because you never reach a place of excellence on your own. You cannot do it. And that absolutely applies to the situation with following your passion, chasing something you're passionate about. We've done a lot of things wrong. We've made a lot of mistakes. But the thing we've done right is surrounding ourselves from the beginning, from day two, I think, with people around us that knew what they were doing in the business world, people around us that knew what they were doing in terms of mentoring us. We're a group of five guys, and typically friends do not make good business partners. It's, you know, it's kind of like that whole idea of being, you know, rooming with your best friend in college, and then at the end of your freshman year, you're not best friends anymore, right? But for us, it's been very important to get wise people around us.
And one more further comment. Surround yourself with a mentor for something you don't understand. So if you have gaps in your knowledge, find the person that can help you fill that gap. Because I'm not good at financial, so I found someone who was. And he's been a great mentor.
Absolutely. Okay? Something to kind of stick in your mind on that one. I like to say that your hate is someone else's hobby.
Right?
For yeah. you, something that de-energizes you actually energizes the other person. That's happened to me so many times. It's incredibly helpful to find someone that compliments you.
Yep. Brown, I would say sweater.
Yeah. So for me, I was a speech communications major. So fortunately, I have gotten a chance to now be hired and go around the country and speak on this idea of going big with what you love and using that platform for a cause greater than yourself. But also, I was a creativity minor. And so those two have been, they really have been perfect. And I know some people out there will say that your degree doesn't actually help with what you want to do, especially if you're an entrepreneur, but I don't believe that. There's always pieces of your degree that will help, no matter, you know, how perfect of a fit it actually is. So speech comm for me. Texas A&M.
Yeah. There were some more questions over here before.
Yeah.
Great t-shirt.
Yeah. Sure. We make money on those little ads that pop up at the bottom of the video that most people don't think about all that often, which is great. But we actually make most of our money from working with big companies. We did a shot out of a Goodyear blimp, and Goodyear paid us to do that because that video ended up on SportsCenter and things like that. So for us, that's how we do it. We also have an iPhone game that's done really, really well. It's iPhone and Android. It's like Angry Birds with basketball. And then we have a book. So we do have some products and stuff like that as well, but it's a great question. I do believe that if you have a niche, then you can make income from that niche. And I do think that's part of it. I think Tina would agree with that, right? She's her fashion. She can't just go out and copy someone else's thing. Valentina is its own separate niche. And so you have to have that.
So this little girl in the red shirt, because you raised your hand like four times. Yeah, no, and we both have could totally answer that differently or the same, but, you know, for me, I was kind of going back to my roots of the love of the industry and fashion and self-expression through clothing, and, you know, I had done this other career for a period of time, and I was ready. I needed to get back to that, and that was probably my greatest kind of kick to get me back to where I wanted to go, so. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be outside too if anybody wants to take one. Yes.
Middle.
Okay.
Good passion.
What I'm wondering is that, well, what I believe is that everybody has a breaking point when they're doing something and they say, you know what, I can't do it, I want to stop. And there's some who actually stop and there's some that actually continue going. Are you able to say an instance or any point where you actually felt, you know what, it's not worth it, and what made you continue going?
For me, there have been a lot of times where I've wanted to quit. YouTube sounds really fun. From the outset, it almost feels to people that talk to me like, oh, you look like you're working on a TV show, and maybe there's some, you know, glamorous things you get to do. And that's true to a certain degree, but there's also I am actually on 2 hours of sleep because we launched a video last night, and I stayed up for 2 days straight editing it and getting it ready, right? And so there are really, really hard things about every job. But for me, every time I run into what you call a breaking point, I totally agree with that. We've seen plenty of them. You have to realize and remember why you're doing it in the first place. And for me, that's why I say go big with what you love and use that for a platform. Use that platform for a cause greater than yourself. Because if it's all about you, at the end of the day, that's not enough inspiration. For me, I like to say that your own personal glory is far too small a thing to live for, right? So if you aim for something bigger than just, you know, impacting your own life, if you impact others, then there's something at stake beyond just you. And so you can't let yourself stop because you're keeping those other people that you would be impacting positively, like Tina. There's more people at stake than just Tina.
Right, and I'm gonna answer that too. So absolutely, there's definitely been times I'm like, this is so hard. Am I doing the right thing? What about this? But you know what ends up happening is, as I mentioned before, we'll get over that hump, and then I'll get feedback. Feedback from moms, feedback from the girls wearing the shoes, comments on my Facebook page, comments from buyers, and they love it. And again, not just because they're buying a cute pair of shoes. And that fuels me. So then I know, okay, well, then, you know, the logistics of manufacturing shoes is extremely difficult, and it's always very exhausting and hard. But once it gets done and I get through it, and then I get the product into the marketplace and I hear the feedback, then that fuels me. And I think you've got to get to that. I think you've got to know in the journey of building something, there's going to be those question marks. I will say, too, for those that have stopped, you know what? They tried. But the bottom line is, if you at least tried, then that right there is the accomplishment. You can't not try. You've got to try. So, try.